okay to record some songs that I've recently acquired from them. Brother Ray died about 9 years ago. They were from Hendersonville, Tennessee. And we're going to try to do some recording coming up. And I thank God that he gives us opportunity. So, you know, pray for that. And pray for her. She had some intestinal problems fusing together, something about, I didn't quite understand it all, but I'm not too smart. But I do know it was something to do with her inside scar tissue, but she had never really had surgeries, but there was scar tissue, and her intestines were having a lot of problems. God's always done what he said he'd do. Said he'd always walk with you. You'll never go where he's never been, through the flame or the flood or the lion's den. He hung the moon, the stars, and the sun. Never fought a battle that he has not won. Never been a mountain that he could not move. And if God can't fail, you can't lose. Making your way down the road of life, you're going to meet up with trouble and strife. You won't go far till you find sometimes, you know, the straight and narrow is an uphill climb. God's always done what he said he'd do. Said he'd always walk with you. You'll never go where he's never been, through the flame or the flood or the lion's den. He hung the moon, the stars, and the sun. Never fought a battle that he has not won. Never been a mountain that he could not move. And if God can't fail, you can't lose. Doing what you can, living like you should, believing all things work together for good. You keep looking up while your ship goes down. You know you may get wet, but you will not drown. God's always done what he said he'd do. Said he'd always walk with you. You'll never go where he's never been, through the flame or the flood or the lion's den. He hung the moon, the stars, and the sun. Never fought a battle that he has not won. Never been a mountain that he could not move. And if God can't fail, you can't lose. You're sick and tired, in debt and broke. Your friends keep saying your life is a joke. But you won't give up and you won't give in, 'cause you already read how the story ends. God's always done what he said he'd do. Said he'd always walk with you. You'll never go where he's never been, through the flame or the flood or the lion's den. He hung the moon, the stars, and the sun. Never fought a battle that he has not won. Never been a mountain that he could not move. And if God can't fail, you can't lose. You know, Lord, give me a little saying a few years back. You know, he said he'd take us through the fire and through the flood. Didn't say he'd give you a fire-retardant suit. Didn't say he wouldn't blow some bubbles along the way. Getting old's not for sissies, and serving the Lord's not easy either. You know, real men and real women serve the Lord. It's a battle. It's a struggle. It's going to be that way until the Lord sees fit to take us home. So we need to just strap up and get ready to be a soldier on a battlefield. You know, the Bible says that no man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please the one who called him to be a soldier. If you don't realize you're on a battlefield tonight, you're already losing the fight, friend. We're soldiers. You're a soldier on a battlefield. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I will say this. You mentioned about Brother Jerry. And, you know, I've had two people dear to me pass away just here in the last few days. He's probably the main reason. Him and Brother Phil. Creasy, I come this way. I'm thankful. I was searching for the truth. And I'm not much, but I'm thankful his influence, that every time I had a question about anything, I mean anything, he had five or six scriptures together, Brother Mike, and he backed it up with the Word. And I appreciate him. I appreciate the life that he lived and the people's lives that he touched. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he helped me to come this way and in my weak and feeble way that I might be able to help somebody. You know, it was funny. I'll tell this on him. He had prayed when he left for West Virginia that God would raise up an evangelist. And I'm him. I didn't know nothing about that. But after a little while, after I got saved, the first time I read about Philip the Evangelist, I knew that was me. And I'm not much. I think he spelled his name with one L and I spell mine with two, but I got to go to many places. He told me one time that he put on a board places that he had been and places he felt he needed to go. Well, I know one of my children and another young lady, I don't know how many more, there was a bunch of them laid out, but praying everywhere. But I know two of them got saved in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, a place where he always wanted to go, and I got to many places, New York, to the natives I got to go, a lot of places he wanted to go that God led me. See, our prayers, the Bible says, never grow weary in well doing, for if you faint not, there'll be a harvest. God will make a way when it seems like there's no way. He's good at it. He's good at it. So sometimes when you're praying, you know, don't give up. Don't give up. One never knows where those prayers and that person you're praying for might lead, or might lead somebody to, that a seed might be planted and watered that might bear righteous fruit one day, that God might be able to use them to his glory. We'll try this song and try to preach. I've had my share of sorrows, all great plans for tomorrow fade with the dawning, by the sundown they'd be gone. I've tossed on the raging tide, wondering, Lord, can I survive? But Jesus never left my side, and I never lost my song. 'Cause Jesus gives a song to sing in sunshine or the falling rain, even when everything seems to turn out wrong. Trials may get a little worse, but he'll just give another verse. As long as you'll just put him first, you'll always have a song. Through poverty and boundless wealth, sickness and the best of health, through the good times and the bad, the melody goes on. And anyone at all can sing, just take Jesus as your king. Then no matter what life brings, you'll always have a song. 'Cause Jesus gives a song to sing, sunshine or the falling rain, even when everything seems to turn out wrong. Trials may get a little worse, but he'll just give another verse. As long as you'll just put him first, you'll always have a song. And as long as you'll put Jesus first, you'll always have a song. And you know, I think about that. That's what the Psalms were about. You know, there's a lot of victory in the Bible. You know, right in the middle of the Bible, I believe the 118th Psalm, the 8th verse, they say is the middle of the Bible. There's like 594 chapters before, 594 chapters after. But in that Psalm, it said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. A lot of people got their confidence in man today. Kind of like in Sister Susan's house there, where it says, of course I talk to myself. Sometimes I need expert advice. Well, I was sharing with her before I came to church tonight. Every time I talk to myself, I end up more messed up than what I was before I started talking. And I have to have a little talk with Jesus, and he's the only one, my dear friend, that'll make things right for you. You'll have to talk to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. And the Bible says there's no other foundation laid whereby we must build but that of Jesus Christ. He's the only one can help us tonight. He's the one. I do have to sing his song before I go. You know what's really funny? I tell people this all the time. You know, there's folks that'll say, well, I can't say, I don't sing much good either. I don't claim to be a singer. Let me tell you something. I got kicked out of a truck. You said you might say you should have stayed in that truck, boy. Go ahead. But anyways, because I wouldn't sing. I learned through that experience, as I had no job and wife wasn't able to work at the time, and I was down there sitting in a vacant lot off of 104 south of Columbus. And I learned right there that when the Lord says do something, no matter how silly it might seem to you or anybody else, it's worthy of following through with. Because the Bible says the Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows the end of a thing, you see. Well, now we see through a glass darkly, but The Lord, he sees way down the road. Matter of fact, he knit you together in your mother's womb with a plan and a purpose for your life, that you might serve him in spirit and truth all the days of your life. See, nothing down here is really about you or me or anybody else but Jesus. He's the one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I really like this song. I think Sister Laura, I don't know if she read that one or not. I'm not known in social circles. I have no claim to fame. When important folks are mentioned, you'll never hear my name. But I have an invitation to a banquet with a king. And everyone will recognize me when I lift my voice and sing. 'Cause I'm the one Jesus died upon the cross, Calvary for. And I'm the one he prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done for. And I'm the one he's gonna build a mansion for in glory land. And I'm the one who's waiting for my Lord to come again. I may never make the headlines of the local evening news. And you may never read about the things I say or do. But my story made the pages of the greatest book of all. Heaven celebrated with rejoicing and applause. 'Cause I'm the one Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary for. And I'm the one he prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done for. And I'm the one he's gonna build a mansion for in glory land. And I'm the one who's waiting for my Lord to come again. Yes, I'm the one. You know, I really like that song because I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful for the Lord's church. But I'm thankful it's an individual way. I'm thankful tonight that you can have as much or as little of the Lord as you want tonight. You can. And I may never make the headlines. A lot of folks know who I am and some don't. Some like you, some will, some won't, some do, some don't. Don't really matter to me. I had some people ask me a while back, they said, how many of you got saved? I said, I don't save anybody. I don't really keep too much track of anything like that. I'm just worried about, I said, boy, someone was asking me the other day about studying and stuff. I said, boy, I wish I had more time to study. And it seems like I get up in the morning and next thing you know, I got this ADD anyway, and boy, I'll get up and get to moving around and stirring. My eyes catch somebody, and the Spirit starts moving me. And next thing you know, I'm out there in the street talking to somebody about Jesus, or I'm down the road somewhere, or I'm singing and carrying on. I don't know how it works for everybody. I wish I was better, but the Lord knows what he got from me when he saved me, and I'm glad that he did. But it's quite a challenge sometimes to be able to do. One thing I found out trying to serve the Lord, you don't always get to be where you want to be doing what you want to do serving the Lord. It just don't work out that way. It really doesn't work out that way. Things would have been a lot different in my life if I could have picked and choose how things would have turned out. But I'm thankful, however it is. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now, but we've had a little trouble, and some a lot more, some a lot less. But I'm thankful to be here tonight. Thankful that God's no respecter of persons, red, yellow, black, white, tall, fat, skinny, short. God's no respecter of persons, and I'm not either. And I'm thankful for his mercy and grace. If you got your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, if you got your Bibles tonight, and you'd like to read along. You know what's really weird to me? I did a couple weddings the last two weekends, and like I told the children out there in Texas, I said, you know, I was so nervous, my hands was shaking like I was getting married or something. I I I I I could go preach in front of anybody, sing in the streets, do whatever I need to do. That's my gift. Always remember, friend, God will make room for your gift. There's nothing special about you. It's a gift from God. God will always make room for your gift, whatever that gift might be. And all of us have gifts and talents. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Using your gifts and talents toward edification of the Lord's people. I was thinking today, you know, that Hezekiah Walker, he says, every word of worship is to our God. Every praise is to our God. I was thinking about every word preached, every testimony that's testified, every word of encouragement as you come to the house of God, every prayer, it should be to the praise, honor, and glory of God. You should be praying at the house before you come to the house of God to hear the word of God. Lord, what can I do to encourage your people? Just like I remember, I think it was old Solomon. Remember, he said, Lord, let me be an encouragement to your people, discernment, wisdom, and understanding, that I might guide such a people. And God just raised him up. If you just mind the Lord and do what you need to do for God, he'll do what he needs to do for you. I'm thankful that it's that way. And I was telling Sister Susan, I said, I get tired of hearing myself preach. I'm not much of a preacher. I'm not much anything. When you try to listen to yourself, it don't work too good. That's why I never listen to much back sometimes, the radio program, because I have to send it off. But I don't listen too much. Singing don't sound too good. Preaching don't sound too good. But I'd rather hear somebody else. I like it when the saints start testifying and singing and worshiping God. Don't you, Brother Bill? That's what I like. That's what I like when God's people get stirred up. That's what this is all about, trying to get God's people stirred up in this land right here in the United States of America. We need to get God's people stirred up. Bring to remembrance that they might remember that day that the Lord saved them and be thankful, have a heart full of gratitude for what the Lord has done for them. We'll try to read here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, I was thinking about that. Followers of God as dear children. You know, there's a lot of disobedient children today. All you got to do is run down to the store and see how many children's trying to tell their parents and grandparents what they need to do, right? You can find that everywhere around, folks. That's really what's wrong with our nation. Brother Phil told me one time, you know, it's a child's job to see what they can get away with. And it's a parent's job to set boundaries and enforce them. You know, that's what God did. We're his children. And sometimes we as God's children, we'll see what we can get away with, won't we? But God's got boundaries through his word and through his spirit. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are the ways of death. We have a guideline. We have a book. There's power in that old book. It's the guideline. It's what shows us and where the issues of life flow out of, this book. I had a young brother a while back. He was saying, boy, I wish I could preach like such and such and such. I never did really wish that. I always said, boy, I wish I could teach like those guys. Boy, some of these guys, Brother Bill, some of these guys, hey, they amaze me, Brother Jerry. And I said, oh, my Lord, how do they do that? How do they remember all that stuff and put it all like that there? And the Lord just reminded me, hey, I didn't call you to do that. I called you to a different work, but I tried. But God's got a work for everybody. And I'll tell you, we need to pray one for another, that God would help us. And I'm thankful we got good pastors and good teachers that can help people, that can give them divine guidance along life's journey. I'll try to go in and get them stirred up, and then they can try to take care of them. They got a far tougher job than I do. I can tell you that. And but it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Wow. I preach that quite often. You know, we owe Jesus everything. I mean, absolutely everything you owe to him. tonight. Everything that you have monetarily in this world, everything you have, you owe to God. Some people say, I inherited that farm. My daddy had it. My daddy's daddy had it. You know, I'll tell you a little story, what the man up there at Reichert Ford told me when the Lord sent me to buy that F-250 out there. That man started telling me all about how he started that company, that company down there over in Pennsylvania with one truck or one car. He said, we're responsible for 60 families working. He said, you know who I am. That's the way he started. I said, no. So I let him do his spiel. He told me all about it. He was real boastful. They had more cars. They got a showroom of cars fill up his church and another one probably. Probably millions of dollars worth of old cars. And he told me all the stuff that he had. How it came about. Boy, then the Lord opened up a door of utterance for me. That's what I always pray, Brother Mike. I say, Lord, open up a door of utterance to me that I might lift up the name of Jesus, that people might see Christ in me, the hope of glory, that there might be seeds planted in water that might bear righteous fruit. And I said, do you know who I am? He said, no. I said, I'm a child of the King. I said, I know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. And I began to tell him, I said, you have all this stuff you're responsible for. I said, you need to thank the Lord. But he didn't know the Lord. But I said, you need to thank the Lord. Lord God Almighty, that he gave your grandpa enough sense, enough business sense to start something that's taking care of you. You need to thank the Lord for everything big and small in your life. We don't take no credit for nothing. Almighty God deserves all the praise, honor, and glory. From our lives, we're nothing without him. So it's amazing how people can get an idea that they're something. The Bible says when a man thinks he's something, when he is nothing, he fools himself. I told a friend of mine on the way over here, I hope my friend Little Phil got saved. Indeed, I do. I mean, but it's too late now. Wherever a tree falls, that's where it lays. It's done. It's over. That part's over. But I was telling another friend of mine, I said, yes, some people just ain't got no sense. I said, they won't believe. They won't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm one of them. I said, well, you're a fool. I said, I didn't call you a fool. The Word of God called you a fool. The Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. The fool. If you don't believe in the Lord today, you're a fool, friend. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. He's real. He's given you breath, another chance to seek him unto salvation. The fool hath said in his heart. But wait a minute. He talked about another fool, and he said he made it to where a wayfaring fool could be saved by the grace of God. That was me. I was that guy. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't brought up this way. I wasn't brought up from a little boy to say, hey, there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to come to you. No, my granny and them, they told me once I got up and got to drinking that beer and smoking that weed, they said, hey, look here, boy, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't change your ways. Well, they was right. It's all right to let people know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, but you need to a million times more let them know the answer of the good news that Jesus Christ is still in the soul-saving business. For whosoever will, let them call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved if they'll call upon him in spirit and in truth. If you'll call upon him, you shall be saved. He wants to save you. He's in the soul-saving business. I'm thankful it's that way, aren't you? And he says, and loved us. You know, God is love. Let me tell you a little saying. God gives me all kinds of little saying. Let me tell you something. Do you know, the Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Those who fear have not been made perfect in love. Always remember, we teach it all the time, repentance and faith, through repentance and faith, and you got to add some contrition in there, right? Godly sorrow has got to be there. Huh? A man can get saved through that, those situations. When they get right, you can be saved that way. But, and that can get you to God, but always remember, Love will take you to man. When that first love starts slipping, it don't matter what you're doing in life. You can work the works of God while it's day. For night cometh when no man will work. But you can tell when that love starts slipping away, that love for your brother, mankind around you, those people, your neighbors, those people you walk across. I'm going to tell you, when that love gets right, you end up being kind of like Jesus, don't you? When that love gets right, you just want to reach out and touch somebody. You want to reach out kind of like Jesus did. When that a woman came up and touched the hem of, she said, oh, if I could just get to the hem of his garment. I tell you, and virtue went out. I tell you, when a heart gets right toward God, you'll get close to God and people will come around you and virtue. I tell you, that love of God, they'll see Christ in you, the hope of glory, and they'll be able to feel the presence of God and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been with God. They'll know it. They'll know that. Can't deny it. I tell people, when your heart's right with God, you can't deny it. When it ain't right, you can't fake it. Can't fake it. You won't fool me very long. I'll feel you. God, you might be able to feel me from time to time. I'm not saying I'm always where I need to be. I'm kind of like the Apostle Paul. I'm the chiefest of sinners. But I can tell you one thing, when it gets real. And I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad it's that way, that God makes himself known throughout the earth as a sweet-smelling savior. Savior. It's sweet. That's why the Bible says when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. It says, come down and come taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when it gets right with God, hey, everything gets sweet around. But hey, remember what he says, anything wrong in this world, I don't know nothing about it. I think it was old C.H. Spurgeon. He said, how did he say that? He said, meditate upon the Lord. He'll visit you often. He'll turn weekdays into Sundays, meals into sacraments, homes into temples, and earth into heaven. Anything wrong in this world, I don't know nothing about it tonight. The peace of God's ruling and reigning in my heart. I cast all my care upon the Lord, for he cares for me. The Bible says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. Boy, I got up here the day, man. I was... I have a weird sense of humor, and I was... Baby girl was taking me down the road, had somebody say, boy, you shouldn't say about dying in front of your kids. And I said, well, I want my kids to know I'm ready to die, but I said, don't worry, baby girl, if we get down the road here and daddy dies down here in this VA hospital in San Antonio, you don't have to worry about that. You know where I'm going, don't you, baby? I said, I want you to come with me. Won't you come go with me? And I was going down the road. I thought, here I am rolling down 35. I'm in a lot of pain today. I mean, stuff like that comes to me all the time. I hope my baby girl can get me down to the VA. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, people write songs and sing songs out of an emptiness and a fullness in their heart. That's what music is all about. We can change those songs. Meditate upon the Lord. Stay away from that stuff. The Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil. If it doesn't help you, it's a hindrance to you. If it doesn't help you get closer to God, you know, that means it's a hindrance. It's pulling you away from God. There's a lot of times in people's lives they say, boy, I'm helping this one or helping that one. You have to be careful sometimes. It's a fine line where instead of you think you're helping somebody get closer to God, but it's the devil pulling you away from God. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. You have to be armed up and prayed up at all times. And it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Hey, you know, this is something that some scripture right here I've heard many people use to try to deny eternal security. Well, they'll say, well, yeah, no whoremonger. Well, that's right, because this flesh ain't going there. You're sealed to the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm going to tell you, when you get Jesus down in there, when the Spirit of God, when that emptiness that you felt ever since you was a little boy or a little girl, right there in your heart, that's what that is, that emptiness. You'll never fill it with nothing that will ever satisfy you until you fill it with Jesus. And when you get sealed to the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of promise, guess what? From that moment on, there's a peace in there. It's peaceful. And then when you do something to the nature of what we just named, next thing you know, you won't want to do it. And if you do find yourself out there doing something, you'll feel real bad about it, won't you? Because the Spirit of God will draw and convict you. He'll let you know. He chastises his own. But wait a minute. We as God's people, we have to do what we need to do for God. I mean, there needs to be church discipline. There needs to be a lot of things done. But we need to lift these people up that are having trouble. We need to know and understand if it weren't for the grace of God, there go I. You know, I share with people all the time. I tell them, I say, I'm his favorite one right behind you, I reckon. Now, what do I mean by that? God will make you feel like an only child. He really will. He'll help you in ways if you just cast all your care upon him. He wants to help you in all things, big and small. That's why I say I never claimed to be too smart. A lot of people let their intellect get in between them and the Spirit. You can even tell it in preaching sometimes. They let something get in between them. Like they got to present things a certain way. I never had to worry about that because I just follow the Spirit. God just gives it to me and it comes out to his glory. But we have to, I was thinking the other day, I was telling a fella, I said, it's not what you think you want to do for God, it's what he wants you to do for him. A lot of people got an idea of what they think they want to do for God, but it doesn't turn out that way. God will equip you. His will will never take you where his grace won't see you through. The call of God, when it gets on your life for whatever that call is, and everybody has a call to do something, it's not about just coming up and sitting in the pews every week. It's not that way. God didn't create you for that. He created you to be like Mike, a first stringer. You can be a first stringer in the house of God. Did you know that? You might have been a second stringer all your life. You might have not have been too athletic and all that stuff and wish you could have, but in the worship and Spirit of God, remember the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. It's the spiritual things of God. God's looking for people. The Bible says his eyes roam to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Is your heart fully committed to him? If it is, you can be a first stringer. You will be. You'll feel real special. He'll make you feel that way. I'm thankful he's that way. I'm thankful that he's that way. How do I know? Because he done it for me. For this you know, that no whoremonger, unclean, covetous man, idolater, and inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But not be not therefore partakers with them. You know, it's easy for us. We are very much creatures of habit. Creatures of habit. Brother Sean told me that old the Mexican fell out and that he met out there in California. He said, creature of habit. He said, you got to habit. I have it. Do you have it? We need to let people know what we have. We need to let people know about the good news. And I'm going to tell you, if you start becoming partakers in this world down here, the next thing you know, you'll find the less and less. It's like the more and more junk you acquire in this life, the less time you'll have to serve God. You know that? More junk. I'll never forget one of my pastors years ago, one of the best sermons. Well, that's the only one I ever remember. Brother Ivan said, because I don't remember much, but he said, some people, I guess that's the difference. Some people can tell you, you know, I preached that sermon right there. That was the first one I ever preached, and it was at such and such, and I preached on that. I said, shoot, I can't hardly, Sister Susan, I can't remember what I preached on 2 days ago. Well, you understand what I'm trying to tell you? But you know, sometimes people in life, they have a better mind, they have a better focus. Mine's not that good sometimes. But I'm thankful that God helps me and hopefully lets people get stirred up. You know, the Bible talks about stirring up the gift that's within you. The gift that was, you know, you stir it up. I mean, we need people, iron sharpeneth iron, but you need to realize and recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. Realize that we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Now, the devil's going to give you every reason and every season why you can't do something for God. But the Bible says all things are possible through Christ who strengtheneth me. If you'll follow the Lord in spirit and truth, he'll help you. I know because he helps me. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, the Bible says God is light, Jesus is light. In him there is no darkness. I'm thankful for that. The Bible says if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. I don't know how much of the world you have to love. I think it's very little. The Bible says that the little foxes that spoil the vine. All you have to do, the devil's very crafty. He's very wise. He's been at this for a mighty long time. We're down here for about 70, and we think we know something. Right? But the devil, he knows all the tricks, and he knows exactly the right time. That's how he tempted our Lord and Savior in different things. Remember? And he said he'd leave and come back at a more opportune time. So he's never going to quit. I tell folks, as soon as I get a little something worked out, the Bible says work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Every time I get something in my life a little bit halfway straight, here he comes again. I watched that guy the other day teaching that lesson. He said, here come the buzzards. Here comes the devil. He don't quit, friends. He's not going to. He's not supposed to. He's a spirit. He don't sleep. He don't slumber. He's always out there. He's active. He's very strategic. He says he goes forth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. And it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, I am now light. And the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness, and truth. You know, Jesus is absolute truth. I thought of that when I read that there today. It says right back over here in Galatians. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I think there's a reason why he mentions love first. Remember in the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, there's a love chapter. I think there's a reason why he mentions love first. Forget not your first love. There's a reason why that love. The Bible says God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That love. The Bible says God is love. Now, wait a minute. He's a God of war as well. He's a God of righteousness, of judgment. But he's love. That's what that book's all about. I was singing that song the other day. It made me cry. The McCamey sang that old love letter. It's kind of like the song that... Brother Jeff gave me that old book. There's power in that old book, this old love letter from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. It's a love letter toward us. That's what that is. And I'm thankful that God loved me enough to write me a personal letter. I don't know it as well as I should. Oh, back to what I was going to tell you. Remember that ADD I was telling you about? Sorry about that, but it'll come back around. I had a young man, he was saying, I wish I could preach like this one or like that one. I said, well, how much time are you spending in the book, hear these older brethren preach, the older deacons and people, their words of wisdom that come out. You know where they come from? They come from the book, didn't they? They come from this old book. It don't change. The Lord changes not. Some people were fortunate enough to be saved as young children. Some people were fortunate enough to be raised up in the old time way. I had to learn a whole lot of real quick, but I don't know much. But I can tell you one thing. I do know Jesus, and I can preach him just a little bit. The Bible says that a wayfaring fool could be saved by the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, back in the Old Testament, the days of Balaam and Balak, he preached a donkey. If he can preach a donkey, he can preach me. Think about that, child of God. When God gives you something to do, He'll make a way when it looks like there's no way in your life. You'll say, I'll never be able to do that. Don't never say never. How God takes the weak things of the world to confound the strong. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Remember in one spot, I always think about that. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but you have made them known unto who? Babes. You have made them known unto people that would trust you. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Forbid them not. People that want to learn, that want to know and understand the spiritual things of God. I remember back when I first got saved, I was running around up home. I couldn't find the truth. I was like, oh, Lord, this doesn't make sense. I go to this church and they don't make sense. And I'd call Brother Phil and he'd give me some words. He said, call Brother Jerry on that one. Call Brother Jerry. And I remember many nights I'd call before his hearing went bad. I'd say, Brother Jerry, help me. Because Brother Phil kept saying, go to the minister school. And a lot of them people down there, they didn't know nothing about me. I come in a pair of shorts or whatever I dressed. They didn't know nothing about me. But I just like them, but they didn't know that. You see? They didn't know that. Just come from a different part of the country. Different bird, if you will. But one thing you can be sure of, I'll be somewhere working for my Lord. Whether it's in a church down here, whether I'm up home, whether I'm on the street, wherever I'm at. You can believe that. But he said, hey, look, you need to come down here. And boy, I would get words of wisdom. And you know what's really funny? Remember this, young people, all the young people out there listening. I deal with a lot of people on the street. Watch this thing. Let me tell you something. Do you know that you can learn things from people that know the truth? Remember this. The more truth you know, you got to know about it. Then you got to understand it in your heart. Then you got to follow it. So you got to know about the truth, understand it in your heart, then follow it. But listen, many things I learned from Brother Phil, Brother Jerry, then Brother Ivan, and then a lot of stuff at the minister school. I would hear these brethren preaching, Brother Bill and Brother Dahl and Brother Vanderpool, them guys. And I'd be like, whew, it would just come in and just like a torpedo come in, boom, like it was blowing up the Titanic, like I'd hit an iceberg. And I'd listen to that stuff, and it would come in, and I'd pray. I'd say, Lord, is that right? Is that right? And it's like, boom. Nobody will ever tell me any different. So there are people that God puts in your life that you can learn things from that might have took me 25 or 30 years to learn. But almost instantly, God can give you. See, he will equip the call, Brother Billy. He puts people in our lives. I heard Brother Ron say many times how Brother Billy, and I don't lift these people up, but I love them. I appreciate them. I listen to their words of wisdom. They mean a lot to me. They really mean a lot to me, and I mean that. What little bit I've been able to do for the Lord, they mean a lot to me. I was thinking about how I come down the road, and I know, say, hey, Brother Mike says, anytime you come through, you need a place to stay, a place to shop. He ain't stopped by my house. I'll pull that camper up in his yard. Whatever needs to happen, it'll get done. I thank God for that, don't you? I thank God for people like that, that love the Lord and love his cause. I'm thankful. I told my baby girl one time, I remember one of my favorite times I was sharing with one of her little friends down there. And I come down to the wedding. I said, I remember baby girl, she's about 12 or 13, and I was crying and carrying on. And I came back to set in my seat. I had my towel there, and I set it down. It was one of the most precious moments I remember with baby girl. She was little, and she started taking that towel and dabbing my eyes with it. I never forget that day. That was a sweet day for me. That was a precious memory. Kind of like when I'd set my kids in the floor and we'd on Saturday morning, I'd tell them to shut them cartoons off. Hey, we'd get down in the middle of the floor and start talking about Jesus. I'd be able to tell about a Savior. I'd read that old children's Bible, and the Spirit of God, I would come down from heaven and start touching souls. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God can give us divine direction. He has the words of life. And doesn't matter. Some of them haven't been saved yet, and that's all right. God's going to get them. If he don't, ain't nobody's fault but their own. They've heard the gospel. You know, the gospel, the Spirit of God, The Word of God, carried by the Spirit of God, has a profound effect on the heart of man. You know that? It does. It'll change him. If you let it, that word, meekness, but love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such, there is no law. Let's look down here and it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, you know, the Bible says, as we said earlier, you can learn things from people. Might have took you years to learn. The Bible says the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. That's what gives us our guidance. We listen to it. We listen to that still small voice. Some people say, I know the Lord wanted me to do that. He about beat the heart of my chest. He don't want to beat you up. He don't want to beat the heart out of your chest. He wants you to listen to that still small voice. When he says, stand up and testify. Get up and sing a song. I told a dear brother of mine that's doing some work in a place. And I said, you've wrote several songs, haven't you? He said, yeah. I said, sing them. Wondering about music when they go preach. Go sing them. Go do what God put in you. If he put in your heart to write it, he'll let it come out through your mouth too. He'll let that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If he put it down in your heart, he'll bring it to fruition. I say stuff all the time, it comes true. I told a friend of mine the other day, I said, if I tell you to do something, do it. I don't say that boastfully, but I'm usually hanging out with the Lord, a lot of times anyway. And when God gives me something, I say, do it, please. Please do it. Otherwise, there'll be repercussions. There will. I've seen it happen many times. You know God says what he means and means what he says. Did you know that? He really does. God says what he means in his word and he means what he says. There's no, it's just in this day or I got to do things this way and God's not going to change anything in his word for you. He'll do it. What he said he'd do, he'll do. I'm thankful it's that way. You know, I needed some guidance. I need lots of guidance. I'm thankful I went to the military. God gave me some understanding in there, some discipline. Some discipline. And I'm thankful that I have a little bit now, but not much. But it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. See, we're seeing a lot of darkness. I heard my brother say, pray for the nation. You're right about that. But here's the deal. You're seeing all kinds of darkness being exposed now. See, man loves darkness instead of the light. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If we want to increase our faith, let's read and understand and know the Word of God. I tell people the one of the greatest ways of increasing your faith is to share it. Share what God has done with you. Hey, you won't have to look for them. If you'll follow the Lord in His Spirit, He'll just send them to you. You don't have to look for them. Believe me, you won't have to look for them. They'll come right to you. They're all around us every day. All around us. Every day. And He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. There's a lot, you know, the Bible says whatever's done in secret will be brought to the light. Whatever you hear in secret, proclaim it from the rooftops, what you hear from the Lord. Why? Because every bio's got a story. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The things that you go through in this life are to help other people get through. Now, wait a minute. The guy that goes out here, if a man goes out here and gets to drinking and drugging or whatever, that wasn't the will of God for his life at this particular moment. He didn't want that for you. But he can use that to the glory of God if you let him. The more you go through, the more you can help people get through. Just be careful because you haven't been through some things that you don't become judgmental about the people that have. Be careful about that. You know, a man can become prideful just in who he is. Did you know that? Well, I've never done anything. I've been a good boy all my life. Oh, okay. Be careful. I have to be careful about things. I'm thankful. I'm thankful God helps me. For it is a shame even to speak of those things. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. You know, God's got a way of speaking to people. I'm hard-headed, I think. I guess. I think I am. You know, it wasn't until I was about 50. I had a lot of pride in my life. You know, I was a ball player when I was younger. You can't tell it now, but one day we could have rolled a little bit. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Sometimes in people's life, maybe when you get older, you start realizing just how much help you really need. Just how inadequate, how insufficient you really are. And realize what that body of Christ, what the people around you, how much they mean to you. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to appreciate God's people and the people in your life. And I find myself more and more appreciating the people around me. My pastor, and pray for Brother Jerry, he said, Sister Melissa wrote me a thing. The cancer stuff came back, stuff. And the blood worked. And I was real sad, but I've been praying a lot about that. And I said, God can work miracles and stuff. And Sister Melissa wrote me the other day, texted me first when I was still in Texas, and she said, Brother Phil, what are you doing on the 3rd and the 10th of next month? And I texted back. You know what I texted? I said, whatever my pastor and his bride need me to do, that's what I'll do. Whatever they need me to do. Because I appreciate them. They came up home and they pastored the flock, our little flock. And I tell you, they mean a lot to me and they mean a lot to our people up there. So you please pray for my pastor, if you would, and his bride. God would help them. He'd help them. They mean a lot to us. I'm thankful that God sent such a wonderful teacher and preacher to us. He's coming down here to see about his family, visit with his family some. So, you know, remember that for them. But it says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth. Ooh. Awake, thou that sleepeth. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I preached a while back. I said, why are you looking for light in the darkness? Why are you looking for something that will satisfy you in the world when all there is darkness? That's why the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, because all there is out there is darkness. You won't find anything that satisfies you. Ask Solomon. Hey, even the queen of the south came in all his splendor and all the things that he had. He said, it's all vanity. It's all meaningless compared to my relationship with God. It's meaningless. I don't care what you got. I'm just wondering, are you serving the Lord? Hopefully your family's saved. Pray for mine. Pray for Phil's. And it says, see then that thou walk circumspectly. The believers walk not as fools, but as wise. You know, what's it say? Let me look over there real quick. Hey, you know what? You know what? I think about that quite often. I thought, wow. You know, that's quite an amazing thing, what it says over there in Ecclesiastes. I think it's 1 and 18. Because it really speaks to my heart, and I'll show you why. And I believe this is what it means. I think the more we know about the Lord and his work, the more sorrow we become. It says, for in much wisdom is much grief.
And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. In much wisdom is much grief. I was watching Baby Girl, and they was watching that Lord of the Rings the other night before, and that little guy, that little goblin-looking thing, he said, precious, precious. He was going crazy over that thing. You know, there's a lot of people. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a lot of people go crazy. A lot of God's people went crazy over it. You know that? A lot of people have erred from the faith. They have. Huh? Don't realize, man, it's not about that. It's about Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. Paul plants, Apollos water, God gives the increase. No servant's above his master. That's why Jesus came, to seek these people out. To say, hey, look, I am Savior. We say, hey, look, you got a problem? I know a problem solver. You don't need a revolver. You don't need a drug. You don't need an alcohol. You need to turn to Jesus. Just like I told that man up there today, you don't need to take him through a bunch of steps, but one step. Take one giant step toward Jesus, and they'll get what they need. One giant step toward Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. For once in my life, I know the answer. When I was a kid, I remember they tore down the old high school, but it had a bunch of windows. And I couldn't pay attention much. ADD pretty bad, I reckon. And I'd look out the windows, and I'd catch a bird or a butterfly. And I never could get back to the chalkboard. My mind never went back. So one guy told me, had my dad, that my mom was salutatorian of her class, and old Vincent Scragg, he was a coach at Bartlett before they all consolidated, and my daddy had 1961, the first year, and he died when I was 21 years old. But Vincent said, your mommy was an excellent student. Your daddy was a good student. He said, what happened to you? He really asked me. I didn't want to cry. I was too proud to cry. I get boardings all the time. You think you're something just because you're a ball player. No. I didn't think I was anything. I just couldn't pay attention. You ever have that problem? If you haven't, it's a serious problem. Without medication. But I will say this. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. So all things work together to the good, to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. So after I got saved, I was... one day I went after a boy, a man, in the dicer room, and we was about to fight, and thank God something stopped me. It had to be the Lord, even before I knew him. And they sent me home that night, and they put me on medicine, and I gained a bunch of weight. Some of it I've never took off again. And Dr. Swabby, sounds like a movie, right, Dr. Swabby? And he put me on this medicine, Wellbutrin. Wellbutrin it was. Anyway, I along about that time, I got saved by the grace of God there on May 6, 2001. That's right, friend, I got a time and a place where the Lord spoke peace to my heart. I'm real glad that the Lord saved you, but not half as glad as what he'll save me. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? I know my Redeemer liveth, and he'll stand up on the earth in the latter day. I'm just like Job, but hey, I got it down here as well. The Lord's been good to me. But I went over there that day, and I said, Dr. Schwabe said, hey, I said, Dr. Schwabe, you been saved? I started telling him all about what happened to me at the Celebration Center in Belfry. I used to act it out all the time, Doc. I'd come down and show him how I went. I'd get down on my hands and knees, and tears would start flying. I told him how my arms started shaking, how I said, God, I'm nothing, you're everything. Please forgive me of my sins and all that. How the tears and snot was just a-flying. And next thing you know, I was standing up in the middle of the floor saying, hey, I'm free. 300 or 400 people now. I didn't care. I had peace with God. I still got peace with God tonight. It don't go away. It just gets better if you let it. So I went to that doctor, you know what he told me? I said, you've been saved, Dr. Swy? He said, evidently not like you have. I said, well, you can be. God's no respecter of persons. You can be. And you know what he did? He said, here's what I want you to do. I kid you not. This is a psychiatry man or whatever he was. He said, I want you to go wean yourself off that medicine. I think you're going to be all right. And guess what? I did. And guess what? He was right. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is a game changer. He's a game changer. He will change your life. So that's what I tell people all the time. I'm not jealous of anybody. I guess if I had jealousy, you know, being jealous, a person that's jealous is doubly unhappy. Did you know that? They're not only jealous of what they don't have, they're jealous of what you have. Sad scenario to be in. But I guess if anybody I was ever jealous of would have probably been Adam and Eve, the little girl down there, her name was Eve. I thought that was a pretty name for a little girl. And because they lived down here in the earth for a period of time without sin. Kind of sounds like heaven, don't it? Kind of sounds like the primitive quartet or whoever wrote that song where the old boy said, I guess I won't have to write back anymore. Nothing much changes around here. We're just going to worship the Lord forever. It's going to be wonderful. Pure spirit and pure truth. I can hardly wait to get there. Yeah, I can hardly wait. I desire to be there. But I got work to do for the Lord till I get there. And it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it says, redeeming the time. I'm done, though. You're okay. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And man, in that old Thompson chain, I had scriptures in the back marked for redeeming the time, but I might wear you guys out. You might fall out of your seat tonight before. But I had things on the evil times, redeeming the time. But I think we know what that means, doesn't it? It means the Lord told us, and I'm paraphrasing, in the scriptures, he said, when all these things happen, you know, down in North Carolina where it never flooded before, they had floods. People lost everything. Earthquakes, famines, all these things, diverse places. Craziness happening. Don't worry about that. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. We're one day closer. We could be of that people that seen come. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Being caught up in the air with the Lord. Something like morning Gabriel's trumpet's going to sound. And all of God's children are going to rise. Those who are waiting down in the grave will be caught up in the sky. We're talking about a groundbreaking. There's never been an earth shake. Like unto that, when Jesus takes us home, well, I'd like to be standing by a loved one's graveside when the Lord declares that time will be no more. All the graves will burst open, all the saints will come forth. There'll be a great celebration on that shore. We're talking about a groundbreaking, oh, what earth shaking when our Lord returns. Claim his own. We're talking about a ground breaking. There's never been an earthquake like unto that when Jesus takes us home. You know, my dad, he prayed I'd be a preacher one day. I'm glad he did. And ain't been much, but I knew, you know, before. When I first got saved, I preached in four or five pulpits before I ever knew it was one. And I just had a desire. I pray we all have a desire like that. How you say, Lord, if somebody else don't want to do it, just ask me. I'll try to do it for you. Because I was so thankful for him saving me, I wasn't looking for him. When he come to me, I wasn't looking for him. But I wasn't. I had a beautiful wife, a couple beautiful kids. Wasn't looking for God. Come found me. I was that wayfaring fool out there. Thought I was all that in a bag of chips. Good job. Good life. But I'm thankful my daddy prayed for me. And I'm thankful that convicting, drawing power came to me one day there on May 6, 2001 and changed me forever. Made me love everybody. I'm thankful it's that way. And I pray we'd all have that desire to try to serve the Lord. I say all the time, I say a lot of times, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know how thankful you are to be here. You might say, dang, if you wasn't here, it'd be all right. Stop that. But it's still my favorite place to go after 23 years is to come to the house of the Lord. Where else should you want to go in life? But to come and try to be encouraged, to go to try to hear the word, to try to learn a little something, to try to encourage your brother and sister in Christ and try to build one another up that we might go out onto the battlefield and try to lift up the name of Jesus. So can we sing page 54? I want to say a few scriptures. Can we sing page 54 in the blue book, the one we had? But Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. The Bible says the Lord's nigh. He's close unto them that be of a broken heart. He saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. You got to be broken. You got to be crushed, friend. You got to realize you're lost before you can be found. Got to realize you're broke before you can be fixed. You got to realize that you're nothing and God's everything. He's creator, your creation. The Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but earthly sorrow worketh death. You can be sorrowful because your dog died, somebody run off, whatever. That's not godly sorrow. Godly sorrow sets up when you realize what you are, a sinner before God. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the free gift of God, lest any man should boast. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Those that come to God first must believe that he is. Can you believe it, friend? Can you believe it? He's real. The heavens and the earth declare his glory. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. I seen him in those lights down there that night when I was preaching down there around the 13th or 12th or 13th of this month down there right across the road. There was these red sky come up in there. And he's real. Bible says, asking it shall be given. You seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Hey, continually ask, seek and knock till you get what you need. But the Bible says, this is an important one. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Man wants to have an understanding about something, then he can have faith in it. Friend, God wants you to leap out in faith, and he'll give you the understanding. Why? Because the righteous live by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. We live by faith. Faith. So as we sing, need to pray, it's a good place. If you're out there and you need to pray, it's a good place, good time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's important. Let's stand and sing.